Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
A husband and wife were in church. The preacher noticed that the husband had fallen asleep, and he yelled at the wife in the microphone, "Wake up your husband!" To which the wife yelled back, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Fast forward into the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. The Old Testament said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." The New Testament said, "In everything give thanks." Talking about being grateful, living a life of gratitude. Turn to your neighbor and just tell, put a big smile on your face and say, "Happy Thanksgiving." You may be seated. I need you to come with the same praise and worship this next Sunday that you did this morning, and it's going to be a little tougher because you'll have eaten Thanksgiving turkey all week long. You'll have eaten one or two, I was going to say pieces of pies, but some of us pies. How many of you like pumpkin pie? How many of you like sweet potato pie? How many of you can't tell the difference? You just like both of them. How many of you put so much Cool Whip on it, it doesn't even matter what kind of pie it is? So we're going to have a great time this week. I love the holidays. I love Thanksgiving. Let me give kudos to Pastor Becky. She is as good in the kitchen as she is on the keyboard or on the Hammond B3. And I know you love your mama. I love your mama too. But nobody can make mashed potatoes like Pastor Becky Fender. The first thing she does is she puts 2 cans of pet milk, condensed milk. Then she puts like 3 sticks of butter. Oh, my goodness. We have to have a healing service every time she cooks potatoes. I love Thanksgiving. I love family. I love what it represents. I love that everybody is directed. And we talked about this last week a little bit. Everybody in our nation is directed towards what they're thankful for. Even if God is far from their minds, they begin to look around and see the good things in their life. And can I encourage you to pray? Sometimes you have to forget about what's going on that's bad, and you have to concentrate on what is good. That's why Paul would say, "In everything give thanks." And last session we talked about that there is, and I was shocked. Nobody took me up on the challenge, and I thought my email would be flooded, my message would be flooded. But I can find good in every situation. Every situation. The situation might be terrible, but I can find good in every situation. It's one of the greatest things as a believer we can do is to be in the middle of mess and still be able to say, "But I've got a roof over my head. I've still got a car in the driveway that's going to take me to a job. Well, Pastor, I don't like my job, and they treat me bad." But guess what happens every 2 weeks? You get a paycheck, and you say, "Well, they don't pay me what I'm worth." Well, work there and believe that God's going to give you a promotion or that God's going to give you a better job. There's always a reason to give thanks. At the very end, if you can't find anything, just breathe. What that means is that God's not through with you yet, that there's something in front of you that's greater than where you're at today. It gives us a reason to push past how we're feeling. And so that's why when we come in here, and just a few moments ago when this altar was full of praisers, radical praisers that come down to the front and dance and shout and lift their hands and lift their voice, it's not because they've all had great weeks. They didn't just come off of the best week of their year. Maybe a couple of them have. But some of them might be in the hardest time that they have ever faced, yet they still praise God, yet they still have a grateful heart, yet they still show gratitude. Because, and I talked about this on Wednesday night, and you can go back and listen to the podcast, but we've got to understand when something bad happens in your life, you've got to attribute that blame to the correct party. You got to remember that God is good, always good, and all he does is good. So when something bad shows up, it is no reflection on God, which means if it's no reflection on God, my praise should never diminish because of something bad that happens, because God is still good even when I have a bad report. God is still good when my marriage is going through something. God is still good when I don't like the circumstance that I'm in. It doesn't change the fact that God is good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God is good. He's good when we are not. He's good when our situation is not. He's good when we are in the valley. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. So we begin to dive into the five things that gratitude or being grateful does in our life. The number one thing we talked about was that gratitude gives God an avenue into your life. That God needs a runway just like a plane needs a runway. And when you begin to praise God, you begin to direct that plane into your life. That one hallelujah from a believer gets God's attention. That with everything going on in the Middle East, everything going on in Washington, everything going on in the State House in Austin, Texas, everything going on with the 8 billion people almost that fill up this earth, when I say hallelujah, or you say hallelujah, God pivots to wherever he heard the hallelujah from and says, I am not a man that I should lie. I have promised that I inhabit the praises of my people. So when you and I start praising God, God looks and takes one giant step and steps into the praiser, steps into the praise, and he brings everything you need with him. So when I need God to show up, I don't have to be counseled. I don't have to go to a church service. Wherever I'm at, I can say, thanks be to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. And when I do that, I look around and my friends might not be there. Everybody else might have walked out, but look who showed up. Jehovah God in the flesh. His name is Jesus Christ. And when I praise him, boom, God shows up. Better than a genie in a bottle. Better than a fat white man in a red suit. Present company excluded, just looking around, making sure. When we praise God, the God of heavens. Listen, when you praise God, the God of Genesis 1, the creative God, shows up. And once God steps in, come on, church. All you have to do is be praising God. God has heard your prayers. He responds to praise. And just like that, God starts saying, let there be health. Let there be restoration. Let there be love. Let there be acceptance. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be healing. Let there be whatever you need is found in Jesus. And so gratitude gives us an avenue, gives God an avenue into our lives. Where we left off last session is gratitude. Number two, keeps God in your life. David found the principle that when I praise God, God shows up. But when I complain, I can't see God. When I murmur, I can't see God. When I talk foolishness, I can't see God. When I talk doubt, I can't see God. But it's amazing because I could be talking doubt 1 minute and snap into my faith and shake off that spirit. And the moment I praise God, boom, there God shows up again. So David tapped into this principle. If every time I praise God, God shows up, but every time I don't praise him, God disappears, he said, then 7 times a day I'm going to praise God. Then he goes on to say, I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praises will continually be in my mouth. Because he said, when God showed up in my prayer, I like my life with God a lot better than I do without God. And so bigger than a Thanksgiving prayer and bigger than 30 days of Thanksgiving in November, I'm here to tell the church, we've got to praise God, be grateful, show gratitude, and have Thanksgiving every day, all day, every day of the week. He said, every 3.5 hours, I have to excuse myself to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. And then I can go back into the board meeting and handle business. But after that, on my lunch hour, before I thank him for my food, I say, God, you are a good God. Look at how far you brought me from. Look at all the mess you brought me through. David found out, when I praise God, God lives in my life. He inhabits the praise, and then he abides in continual praise. He inhabits praise, but he abides in continual praise. Thank you, Jesus. That's all it takes. When you get bad news, you ought to praise. Because what happens is that bad news shows up, and you can, 5 seconds later, you can have God show up. And I love when God shows up. God always lets the devil move first. The enemy comes in like a flood. Guess what happens next? God comes in and raises a standard. God is such a gentleman, he lets the devil go first. Or God loves to say, anything you can do, I can do better. Praise does that for believers. When the devil shows up on Monday at 10 a.m., if you'll give God a praise at 10:01 a.m., God is going to show up and say, is that what the devil did? Well, I can do you so much better than that. And your praise allows God to abide. I wasn't going to preach on worship, but God just dropped this in my spirit as we preach. If God inhabits praise, he comes to praise, inhabits praise, perpetual praise, he abides in, he lives in. But I'm going to tell you what worship does. Worship expands his presence. So I praise God to get him down. And after I praised him into my presence, then I start worshiping God, and who he is begins to expand in my life. That's why we use words like, I will magnify the Lord. I will extol his virtue. I will lift him up. I'm talking to somebody today that your praise and your worship are not to be just used in Thanksgiving season or when everything's going good, but every day of your life, I want God to show up, I want God to set up, and I want God to expand. So I use gratitude, I use gratefulness to keep God in our life. Jesus and the devil, church, cannot occupy the same place. One of them has to go. And they are called and sent. They are called and evicted by the attitude of our heart, by the words that come out of our mouth. When you thank Jesus and Jesus shows up, the devil takes his absence. The devil says, well, I'm just going to leave. And for some of us, he says, well, it's Sunday. I'm going to quit bothering him from 11 to 12:45. But that praise is going to quit at 12:45. And so I'll just wait out in the car for him. Because the moment you get in the car, you start talking about life again. You start talking about the preacher preached too long and you missed the buffet. About the usher didn't look at you right. The greeter didn't shake your hand right. The greeter hugged you a little too long. Whatever it was. And what we say and what we do, the attitude of our heart now, it either evicts God, evicts Satan, brings God to us, or brings Satan to us. And I'm here to tell you, Satan's going to come to you no matter what. The last thing you want to do is call him back into your life. It's the reason why I praise. Why do you pray so crazy? I pray so crazy because I serve a crazy big God, but I am against a crazy devil. And I want the devil to see that this guy knows how to praise. It's not just words on his lips. It's an attitude of his heart. On Monday, he's praising. On Tuesday, she's praising. On Wednesday, they're praising. Good, they're praising. Bad, they're praising. Negativity, complaining is praising the adversary. It's all praise. When you say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, hallelujah, you are a good God. I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for starting me on my way. I thank you, God, that I'm in my right mind. I'm thankful that my kids are on their way back. I thank you that my kids have never left. I thank you that I've got a job to go to. I'm thankful that I live in a state that I don't have to scrape windshields and shut. There's all kinds of things to be thankful for, and that's what we call praise. But did you know when you wake up and, oh, I'm going to be late for work, and that boss is going to be chewing me out, and I hate my job, and I hate my life, and that man next to me snored all night long, and I wish sleep apnea would either do his thing or he'd get delivered, and you're just running all this, it's still praise, but it's praise to the wrong one. And the same way that God inhabits good praise, the devil inhabits bad praise. If you cannot say nothing good, if you cannot say anything good, don't say anything. You are only as strong as the last thing you said. Your faith is only as strong as the last thing you declared. And so when I cannot say anything good, I'm just going to zip the lip and I'm going to sit there until I can pray myself in a position that I can praise God again or thank God again, because I'm not going to let my own mouth bring the devil and all of his craziness in my life. Negativity, complaining is praising the adversary. He inhabits the complaining of his people. Praise to God, God inhabits the praises. The adversary inhabits the complaining of his people. Number three, gratitude evicts the adversary. Paul writes in his book in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Paul, in this verse that we love to shout about, it is an indictment against the church of Ephesus. Because for him to say, don't give place to the devil, what have they been doing? Giving place to the devil. This is not only a letter to believers, this is a letter to the church. This is not a letter to the worldly people, to the ones that are straight up running heathens and knuckleheads. This is to those that should be praising, that should be serving, that should be working in the kingdom of God. And this is what he says. Every time I hear from you, you are going through something because you refuse to praise God and you continually praise the adversary. Well, I have not been praising the adversary. How could you say something like that? If he's there, you praised him. Don't give place to the devil. God needs a spot to do a miracle in your life. The devil needs a spot to bring all hell against you. And I refuse to let my own mouth cause me pain. I refuse to cut off my own hand. I refuse to gouge out my own eyes. I refuse to mess up my own marriage. I refuse to go out here in culture, let culture and society beat me up. I refuse to let all of that happen, because when I praise God, God shows up and the devil is evicted. You don't get to take your stuff. Your stuff is now my stuff. You get out of my life. Every time you praise, the what you see the most of is God rushing in the back of the devil's head as he rushes out of your life every time you praise, which is why it's a problem when you only praise God on Sundays, which is why it is a problem when you only thank him in November. Every day of your life, you ought to just, anytime you start feeling a pain, oh man, I got a pain in my stomach, oh God, I worship you, I thank you for health, I thank you for coming, I thank you for unleashing the promise of healing on the cross. What are you doing? At the very tinge of it, I'm evicting it. When you have an argument with your spouse, and you're going to have an argument, and if you don't have arguments, you're going to have loud disagreements they can hear three streets over. But the first argument you have, you ought to start praising God. Now, she might not want to praise God with you in that moment, but you can go and you can praise God. Go out on the back porch, go into the closet, go into the master bedroom, wherever you need. And I praise God for a strong marriage. God, I thank you for bringing me this woman. This is just a rough patch, but God, we're going to be made stronger for this. God, if it's something I've done, show me right now. If it's something she's done, give me the heart of forgiveness. Don't let bitterness take that place, God. We're blessed. We're not bitter. God, I thank you for giving me the right mind to discern these things. And the devil say, wait, what? As he leaves your house. So that don't make sense. Every time you praise, the devil tucks his head, tucks his tail, and leaves your life. Every single time. Every single time. A lot of us are dealing with the residual effect of him being there, but he's not there any longer. Let me say that again. A lot of us, after he's evicted, are dealing with the residual effect that he was there, but he's not there any longer. But I've got good news for you. The one who came in that evicted him, he's got everything you need to bring that ship back on course, to make sure that all of your life is as it should be. And so when you praise God, God shows up, God sets up, God is magnified through worship, and the devil cannot stay. In the heart of gratitude, the devil has no place. This is what James would say. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I heard a great preacher preach this. I can't even remember who preached it, but it was a great word. I heard it 2 weeks ago. And that's what I love about God. It doesn't matter who said it if it's true. It's the truth. And I love what he said. He said, a lot of us are losing the fight with the devil because we were never supposed to fight the devil. Why would God call you to fight somebody who's already defeated? The Bible doesn't say fight the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know how I resist the devil? When I want to cuss somebody out and I praise God. I guess I'm the only one who drives in 1604 traffic. When you want to punch somebody in the face and you don't punch them in the face. When you want to walk out on your marriage and you don't walk out on your marriage. When you want to beat your kids within an inch of their life and you don't spare the rod but you don't go too far. And you discipline them in love and you chastise and rebuke them in love. The reason that I have the devil leave my life is not because I fought him but because I praised God. And by praising God, I resist giving in to what he wants me to do. Man, I look at this place today. Listen, I live with some of y'all. We work closely. And you've seen me at my best and at my worst. I've seen you at your best and at your worst. And let's be glad that God has saved us and we're spirit-filled now. Let's be glad that it's not BC. Let's not be glad that we didn't meet each other when we had other substances ruling our lives, when we were under the impression of other spirits. And so for me to get the devil to leave, I'm not fighting him, I'm praising him. Well, I just can't get the devil to leave me. First of all, give him no place. What does that mean, give him no place? Your friends. What you spend your money on. What movies you watch, what music you listen to. Say, Pastor, break it down on music. I am a music fanatic. I've got almost 5,000 songs on my phone right now, and Bishop always admonishes me, it's a phone, not a jukebox. I got almost 5,000 songs. I love. This week on my playlist was Coldplay, Def Leppard, and Hillsong. Just on, not on shuffle, different times, different days. Different times, different days. These are the three types of music. I have a lot of parents ask me about this. There's Christian music, there's secular music, there's worldly music. Never listen to worldly music. That's when they're diminishing women and demeaning women. That's when they're dropping all the cuss words. Those are anti-God, anti-state, anarchy. That's all of this crazy. And it does. And listen, I'm not just talking about death metal and heavy metal and thrash metal. We could be talking about the rap game. We could be talking about country music. Country music, as I love me some country music, but man, sometimes you listen to that. I've never been depressed a day in my life, but you listen to enough country music, you start thinking some things. You play country music back, you get your wife back, your truck back, your dog comes back, everything's fine. Don't ever listen to worldly music, and your Christian music listening should be at a greater output than whatever secular music you're listening to. I know you love Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know you love Marvin Gaye. Man, I wish Les was up here right now. I know you love George Strait. He's the king. Garth Brooks is a mere prince, I promise you. I just said that for Chris Vada. It's Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Garth Brooks for Chris. But my music, what I see, what I watch, what I allow into my life, the jokes I hear, where I stand, who I listen to, who I go to lunch with, who I go to dinner with, who I sit next to at church. Do you know sitting next to the wrong person at church is giving place to the devil? You say, what do you mean? The devil shows up to church more than some of you. He has a perfect record. Jesus is here every service, and guess what? So is the devil. You know why? Because some of you complain every service. It's too dark in here. Wall's too bright. Why does that preacher preach so loud and yell? One guy said, I didn't come here to be yelled at. If I want to be yelled at, I would have went to my mother-in-law's house. That's what he told me after service. So you complain, the devil shows up. You praise, God shows up. So don't praise here and complain there. Don't praise there and complain out there. Praise him at all times. Because you don't give him a place, and you resist the devil. Don't fight the devil. Praise God. I would lose if I fought the devil. But I win every time I praise God. I praise God. I praise God. Amen? Number four, gratitude. I got two more of these. Gratitude protects your stuff. Gratitude protects what you already have. I started last session off telling you that I am a thank you fanatic. You do anything for me, it's thank you, it's thank you, it's thank you. Sometimes I get a little busy in life, and sometimes those thank yous come 4 or 5 weeks later, but I'm sitting down writing cards. I sent a gift to a family that has become a huge part of Mandy's in my life, and it's for something they did back in September, and I just sent it to them this week, and I just said, thank you for your hospitality, thank you for going the extra mile for my family. We love you guys, and we loved it. And I sent some thank you cards and some gift cards to some pastor friends of mine just for being hospitable and for blessing Mandy and I and the kids. And I'm big on thank you. So thank you is a result of what you've received. But when you're thankful, not only does it help you get something, it helps you keep it. God, I'm thankful for this marriage. If you thank God every day for your spouse, you are less likely to fight with them, to be bitter towards them, to harbor unforgiveness. Come on, that's good preaching right there. I know I'm not turning cartwheels and screaming right now, but if you would thank God for your spouse every single day, it would change your marriage, because you can't pray for them. You can't thank God for them and still be mad at them across the kitchen table and slamming doors. And so gratitude helps the hedge of protection that is built around you. Job chapter 1. Has thou not made a hedge around Job, around his house, around everything that he has? You bless the works of his hands. His substance has increased. I want to tell you right now that when you praise God, God builds a hedge around you. How do I know that? Because God stays in the praiser's life as long as there's praise. And the devil tries to show up, and you're still praising God, and he says, I can't touch their stuff. I can't touch their children, their money, their job. I can't touch their thoughts. I can't touch any of that. Why? Because they've continually praised. God has shown up, and he will not try a house or a life of a praiser that is filled with the presence of God. He only comes to those. There's a scripture in the New Testament. I'm rushing to a close. There's a scripture in the New Testament that talks about the man who is delivered from an evil spirit. And when he's delivered from an evil spirit, the Bible says that he sweeps, he garnishes that house, cleans it all out, but he never gets filled with anything. The spirit comes back, tells his buddies to come with him. They all move in, and the Bible says the latter state is worse than the former state, all because he did not fill him. When you praise God, you are full of the presence of God, and there's no way, there's no place, there's no spot for the devil to weasel in. And so I keep praising. Brandon, that's bad news. How are you going to praise God? I'm praising God because that bad news can't stay, because God is here. It can't find its way in because God is here. Praise, gratitude, thankfulness protects your stuff. And finally, I love this, and it goes with Job 1 and 10 that we just read as well. Gratitude increases your capacity. Gratitude increases your capacity. There's one way to never, unless God showed up with two forms of identification and told me to do it, there's one way to never get anything from me again, and that is not to say thank you. I might give it to you once, but again, God would have to show up with two forms of identification for me to give it to you again. But when you say thank you, I say they respect the gift. They were thoughtful enough in their gratitude that here we are days later and they're still thinking about what was done for them. You know what that makes me want to do? Give them something else. Every time you praise God, he sets up shop. He shows up. When you worship God, he expands. When God is magnified in your life, your capacity increases for more of God, more of the things of God, more of the word of Christ, more of the love of Jesus, whatever you need in your life. So every time I praise God, as Job 1:10 says, God, you've increased, because you're there, you've increased everything his hands have touched. Every part of his life you have blessed. Every time I praise God, and I'm telling you just five things that gratitude does. Every time you say thank you, Jesus, all five of these things go into effect. My job through this series is not to get you to say thank you one time, but it is to live a life of gratitude every day, waking up and saying, Oh, man, another day. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me this sleep tonight, waking me up this morning. I'm excited for what my day holds, God. Could it be today's my day of promotion? Could it be today they're going to give me that corner office? Could it be today my prodigal daughter returns home? God, I'm so thankful for what you've done. God, I'm thankful for what you've done yesterday, but God, I'm thankful for what you're about to do today. I praise, I bless you, God, for the future vision you've shown me. What are you doing? I'm living a life of gratitude so that God shows up, so that he stays, so that he's magnified. I'm doing it to protect everything God has given me. I'm doing it to increase my capacity. So excuse me if my praise doesn't run out on November 30th, but come December 1st, a week from today, I'm still going to be praising God. Should you ever catch me in the valley with my head down, I'm not depressed, I'm not despondent, I'm just finishing up my prayer with an in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for hearing me, and I'm on my way to my next mountaintop. Stand on your feet. I'm going to be very transparent with you for the next 30 seconds. This year has been tough for me. Not because God has not blessed me. Not because God has not come through, but because everybody in the original Fender Four, Bishop, Pastor Becky, and Sean. Bishop went through that hellacious accident 6 years ago. Pastor Becky beat cancer for the upteenth time earlier this year. Pastor Sean is on his road to recovery, and he is looking so good, and he's got his strength back, and he's getting good reports from the adversary. I'm going to tell you why it's been a hard year for me, because I look around saying, God, I almost feel guilty because I've got it so good. I've sat with my brother through chemo. I prayed for my mother. I prayed for my father. I've done all of these things, and it seems like I haven't gone through anything, God. God said, don't feel guilty. Just keep praising. And it's not my praise that has kept me unscathed, because their praisers, their praise has brought them through. But rather than ask all of these questions, I just say, God, thank you. Thank you for healing them and keeping me healed, keeping me whole. Thank you, God, that you brought them through every trial. And maybe in some small way you use my faith, my prayer, my touch, my presence to do something for them. But God, I thank you for healing them but keeping me whole. God, I'm thankful that you brought so-and-so through the money problems. But God, I'm thankful that I don't have those money problems. God, I'm thankful that I saw a friend of our family's, his daughter who's been prodigal, literally been away from them as a minor. She came back to have lunch with them this week. I said, God, I'm thankful for them, but God, I'm thankful that my kids are in church every week that love you and worship you. In everything, give thanks. I'm done. If you're in this house today, the most important question you'll ever answer is, are you sure you're going to heaven? I need you to know Jesus. You can't really praise him like you should without knowing who he is. And I can't think of a better time of year than right now than for you to leave your seat to come to the front and say, I want to make Jesus the Savior and Lord of my life, the most important decision you'll ever make, the difference between life eternally with Jesus and life eternally without him in a very real place called hell.